Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to episode number 46 of the Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. Today, Kirk and I are going to talk about the number one marketing tactic of top advisors. Kirk and I have been brainstorming for a while now, and he had an epiphany last night about this. What really is the difference? What are these top advisors doing? And it was like this light bulb, this huge beam of light that went on Kirk's bald head that warmed him up and made him realize we do know what it is. We preach about it all the time, but we're going to break it down. So, Kirk, tell everybody about the shininess.
That was quite the windup.
Well, thank you.
This isn't anything. The truth is the epiphany wasn't something that's new to us and what we've been preaching, but it was just a different angle.
Yeah.
But a really, really important one. And it woke me right up. 5:30. Jeez.
Yeah, that stinks, man.
Yeah. Anyway. So the number one marketing tactic of top advisors. I mean, this really will give some perspective. And it's why we need to talk about it as a focus for this podcast. Most advisors that Matt and I have ever worked with, they do one thing really well. They have a very specific niche audience. And the most important thing is they have a list. And we're going to help you understand how powerful that is. I talked a couple podcasts ago, maybe the last one, about this successful gentleman who was speaking at a conference I recently attended. And he was talking about how they were a huge 401k producer, really, really successful business, and been recognized as one of, a top advisor in the United States. And he was talking about how he used to go do donut drops to businesses. Mm-hmm. Introduce himself and be different. And he talked as if the donut drop was a really important part of his marketing strategy. And I was really frustrated because I know that was BS. And it's not that it was BS. It was not clear. It wasn't.
Right, it was misguided. It was like misdirection. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
What this guy had that too many advisors and too many businesses don't have is he had a list. He could go and find out all the companies that had 401ks.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he could also identify all the companies who didn't have 401ks, but were good sized companies and should have them.
Mm-hmm.
And he could just show up with donuts.
Mm-hmm.
And, 10 years later, 5 years later, 2 years later, who is this guy bringing us donuts? Well, he does 401k. You know what? He just showed up. Had nothing to do with it. I mean, maybe had something to do with donuts. I don't think so. I'm pretty sure that if this guy showed up and delivered a white paper on how he could save them a lot of money, how 401k could change their business, could add to their culture, could mm-hmm. attract more, better employees, all those things, he'd have had more success.
Absolutely.
But the donuts he got it done. And that's a huge part of marketing is showing up and knowing who to talk to.
Absolutely.
If you don't have a list and you can't find that list, it becomes very it's a huge challenge. That's a mountain for almost every advisor I've ever talked to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And our most successful clients over the years have a list.
Yeah.
Right. I've talked with some advisors on the East Coast who work with federal employees in the intelligence community.
Mm-hmm.
They have connections there. They know exactly who to go talk to.
Yep.
They can provide them with white papers. We did that. We got them to write 3 white papers. We rebranded their company. We renamed their company. Created a very specific website aimed at, and they killed it.
Yep.
They absolutely killed it. They told me when we started, we do not want people coming to our website who aren't part of this list.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to be better at going after the people we have, and we achieve that, and they're wonderfully happy.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a story that you were sharing just before we get on the call here.
Yeah. So I started working with this firm in DC. When I first started working with them, they produced between the two partners about $600,000 in production. And I'm writing there's a LinkedIn Pulse article that's going to talk about everything Kirk and I are talking about today. But personally, just from my background and how this merger and this relationship that I now have with Kirk and Ray have really been the culmination of all of this. Because I was thinking the same thing. I was like, how did those guys really hit it out of the park? And what we had created was that clear and succinct brand message. They worked with NASA engineers. That was it. NASA engineers. They knew exactly how to get in touch with them. They knew what they needed. They knew their language. They knew their benefit package. They knew how to communicate with them. Now, NASA engineers aren't normal people, right? Their IQs are astronomical. And so...
Oh, nice one.
Yeah. Thank you. And so they were so smart that you really had to be able to communicate with them in a manner that would, they would understand and that they would not think that you're some schlub. And they did an amazing job. And so what Kirk and I did when we were kind of brainstorming this, we got another guy very quickly in Baltimore. And in fact, I've got a guy in Baltimore and a guy in Chicago in Naperville who have the same relationship. So they built a relationship with a transition recruiting firm. And so every single solitary CEO, C-level, suite, middle management, VP-level people who leave one organization and are looking for another lateral move, they get the call and they do their 401k rollover. And they also have the opportunity to talk to them about planning outside investments and insurance. And these guys are killing it. They don't need marketing. They don't need to, you know, try to open up a new can of worms. They've got their can of worms. And we're going to talk about how to maintain that can of worms because it can get stale. But Kirk and I were just brainstorming this before the podcast. And we came up with 10 things. So 10 reasons why having a niche persona is a huge, huge game changer. So Kirk, let's go through these 10, share stories as we need to and elaborate as we need to also.
So the biggest and most important and profound thing about having a list is you can go directly to your audience. Mm-hmm. It's like, I know exactly who I have to talk to. I mean, most advisors spend a career trying to figure out how to get in front of these people. But if you've got your niche figured out, it's like it's right there in front of you. There's, yep. You don't have to do much work at all. And when you need to replicate it, it's like a tap you can turn on and off. Not that you ever want to turn it off, but it's just so gosh darn simple.
Mm-hmm.
See how good I'm being with my
words. I appreciate the not swearing on this Thursday morning. Yeah.
So that's it. Like have a list. It just simplifies everything. And we talk about, you know, simplifying marketing all the time and how mm-hmm. important it is because everything's too complex these days.
Right.
For a financial advisor in their business. And it doesn't need to be. It does not need to be.
Let's talk about the list because this is vital. Now, if anybody can harken back to when they started in the insurance industry, you were supposed to have your Focus 50, your Dream 100, your Hot 250, right? Every insurance company's got a different name for it. It doesn't matter if you actually know 250 people, 50 people, 10 people, 20 people within this niche that you want to focus on. What matters is the focus, right? So I've got a guy up in Syracuse, New York. He works with a radiological oncologist. Now you would think that, and I've told the story before on the podcast, that seems really specific, but guess what? He only needs one or two new radiological oncologists every year to have a great freaking year because they make a lot of money, right? He doesn't know all of them, but when he's meeting with one of his other radiological oncologists, he's got a good script, a good ask, and good supporting documentation so that that radiological oncologist says, you know what? I know a couple other guys, a couple other ladies who do what I do. You are the guy. I'm going to refer them to you. So that's step number one. Step number two in the 10 reasons why it's important to have this niche persona is you know exactly what they need. Now, Kirk was talking about the intelligence community within federal benefits. It's very similar to the firm I was working with. They understand their benefit package so well that they can identify gaps. They can identify opportunities, and they speak the government lingo well enough where they say, oh my God, like you totally know me. And Kirk, it's really funny. I was prospecting here in Kalamazoo. And I don't normally do that from a financial services perspective because it's very hard to be a prophet in your own town. But I was sitting down with this younger advisor, and about 10 minutes into the conversation where I was introduced to him, he looked at me and he said, wow, you actually understand our industry. He said, I'm solicited by coaches all the time who have no idea what I'm talking about. And just the ability to communicate in the language in which these people are comfortable and familiar with communicating with, man, that changes the whole game. So what else do you think about knowing exactly what their audience needs?
I get that all the time, by mm-hmm. the way. Like just people who are so many advisors work outside, when they work with local marketing companies, it can be good. Sometimes you get somebody who's fresh and they're just in touch with what financial planning is and in parts of the business, they can do a good job, but it doesn't happen that often in my experience.
But nope.
Sorry. I kind of cut off your question, but we're talking about number three now, right?
Yeah, we're on to number three.
So anybody who has a clear niche in this list, they can save a lot of marketing dollars because they don't have to spend all of it trying to find and uncover prospects, which is what we do all the time for people, is trying to get them to narrow. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, most advisors that I've worked with do not want to go ultra niche. They really struggle with it. And maybe I should be pushing harder. I mean, we do push, but we get them a lot closer to it than they ever were. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. But you save a lot of money when you don't have to try to figure out who you're going to talk to and where they're at. And, you know, yeah, it's a big deal. Huge.
Yep. Now, there has to be conviction. So I want to piggyback these first three with that conviction, because it'll get us into number four very quickly here. But it doesn't matter if you have an enormous amount of experience with that group. What matters is that they feel your passion and your absolute desire to help that niche group, which allows you not to get stuck. You're not going to be looking for prospects and realize that your prospect pipeline is entirely empty, because you're always going to have people who are coming in and out of these professions. And now I'm going to get super meta on everybody here, so everybody needs to be prepared for this. So nowadays, you will never run out of prospects because you don't have to do everything locally. If you went and said, I'm only going to work with 50-year-old radiological oncologists, and you do a focused target marketing advertisement, white paper, all of those things that Kirk and I talk about, podcasts, videos, whatever you need to do, you can become that guy nationally. There's no reason why you can't do everything virtually now. You will never run out of prospects if you really hyper-focus this niche. Did that just blow your mind, dude? You're kind of looking down at the floor. What's going on?
Spacing right out because I'm just thinking to myself, that's exactly what I've been doing for 17 years.
I know, it's what I've been doing too.
All across Canada. I've got several clients in Australia. It's really not that complicated. I mean, there's plenty of advisors that I've been working with the last couple of years mm-hmm. who only meet with about 20% of their clients.
Yeah.
If you don't understand that, it also means you better be damn good. You better have great marketing, because now you're competing with everybody, not just people in your locale, your local market, right? You're not, mm-hmm. especially if you're in a slightly rural area where maybe, you know, sometimes expectations are a little bit different. You're competing with a lot of different people now. So you got to pull up your socks, and we're trying to help you. We're trying to help. We're doing our best. So, you know, number four is don't get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Number five is that when you are really focused, you can not only get focused on your audience, you can focus on a systematic approach to winning them over. So you can get better more quickly because you're spending your time on, you already know what to do. It's just, let's go make it happen now. And so a lot of advisors really struggle to get there because it's so much effort to do the other thing. But because they're not getting stuck on that, they can get right down to, you know, creating this process, this approach that they can duplicate over and over again mm-hmm. and get better at it. They're just way ahead of the game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's huge.
It is huge. I've got a guy who's in Savannah, Georgia, and he's created this amazing process that is structured towards younger doctors. So people who just move into the Savannah area, and it's two acronyms, and everything is systematized based off of those acronyms. So when you're going through the process, you know that you're in the C category of this acronym, which I'm not going to give you because I don't want to give it away. Oh, I'm in the C-section. And the best part about it is, and Dr. C-section, haha, I got another pun in there. I'm really on fire today. But the nice thing about it is when they're meeting with other doctors, they can talk about the process. Hey, dude, where did you struggle? Man, I really struggled in the I part of this. Well, I really struggled in the X part of this. You know what? You know, that changes. And all of a sudden, they're talking about you as you're the expert. That in that systematic approach is an unbelievable opportunity, which really piggybacks right into number six, which is all of their marketing material and communications direct to that niche. This guy's stuff, everything he hands out, screams doctors. Everything from color schemes to fonts that are familiar with doctors' textbooks and doctors' advertisements. You know, he does a lot of coupling statements like this in medicine to this in financial services so that people understand that he gets it. But when you look at this stuff, all you do is think, oh my God, I work with doctors. This guy works with doctors. This guy's awesome. What sort of stuff have you helped with, Kirk, with marketing material that really solidify that communication?
Well, I've got a tip. If you're working with doctors, surgeons and doctors, don't use red, too much red.
Good call.
You mentioned, you know, having the right color palette for doctors. So you kind of led me down that path, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the material, you don't need a lot of material. You just need good material. If you're going to have anything, spend all your time creating content, you know, proven to your audience that you truly understand them, that you're an expert, and that what you know about them coupled with your expertise is clearly going to make a difference for them. Like, yeah. Why would I go work with somebody who's not targeting me? Because they don't have the depth of you. Like, yeah. How you get me is going to make a difference in my life, in my wealth.
Mm-hmm.
You make it so simple. Like, you'd be stupid, really.
Yeah.
Smart people would be stupid not to use you. You can make it so obvious when you not just know exactly who to talk to, where to find them, you know, how to have a process, but actually communicate to them so that they can't say no, because mm-hmm. there's nobody else just doing it the way you are.
So, which is hysterical, because that really, you just teed up number seven so well there, which is, you know, they save time trying not to be everything to everybody. Now, you and I have both built very successful companies. You know, I don't know how many people have built million-dollar coaching companies, and I don't know how many people have built, you know, multi-million-dollar branding companies like you have. But I remember standing up and I was presenting to a group of financial advisors about niche marketing not long ago. And this was before I had stopped coaching and really just focused on what we're doing at Top Advisor Marketing. And they said, okay, Matt, well, what's your niche? You know, come on, bring it on. You know, we know you don't have one. You work with any financial advisor. I said, no, I don't. I work with women ages 55 to 65 who produce $800,000 in revenue a year, who have an advanced certification like a CFP, who are truly independent and are looking for work-life balance. And everybody's mouth hit the ground. And they're like, how many of those are there out there? I said, that's not the point. The point isn't how many of those are out there. The point is I know exactly what my communication focuses on and who I'm targeting. That doesn't mean that I didn't work with guys. That doesn't mean that I didn't work with women who were younger. It's just people really dug. In fact, when I would be on a sales call and they would say, okay, who's your ideal client? And I would tell them and they're like, well, that's not me. It's like, yeah, you're right. You're not my ideal client, but I think I can help you. And holy crap, that was a freaking home run. I closed more business with that one saying, yes, you're not my ideal client, but I still think I can help you. Man, I don't know, Kirk, if you've had the same experience, but man, that was probably my best closing business statement that I've ever used.
Yeah, it sounds good. I mean, the stuff works. We're not laying, you know, giving you something new. I mean, it's pretty obvious. There may be some people who have left the call, the podcast, and they're off, you know, implementing this stuff.
How awesome would that be?
We're only on number seven. Come on, guys.
Yeah. We do have some more knowledge here, so keep going, Kirk.
I mean, I got a story about a company. It was a 30-something-year-old guy. He was in the media all the time. A lot of spunk, a lot of personality. And when he was in the media, he was communicating about stock market and the economy and stuff like that. And we got him on a call, and he had a partner who was like a 50-something woman who was very motherly, very organized, way different than him. Mm-hmm. But they got along tremendously well, and they ran a really nice practice. But she was kind of the opposite, really planning, really organized, very hands-on, low-key, and he was, you know, media-driven personality. Big personality, you know, would have no problem, you know, telling somebody off online or, you know, calling somebody out, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so his audience was, he was getting people calling him about stock stuff. And anyway, and he said, I said, who do you want to work with? He says, you know what? In our community, we want to work with 50 to 60 year olds who are executives, who love nature, love living their life. In the area they were in, there was a lot of trails and mountains and hiking. He said, we do not want to work with people who even mention stock markets.
Wow.
And I was like, man, you're so clear.
Yeah.
What are you doing attracting all these other people? And as it turned out, we started working with them and we couldn't figure it out. We couldn't get past that. And we ended up separating, going different ways. Because I stuck to what was right, which was you can't be telling me you want one thing and doing a completely different thing because you're going to kill your market.
Yeah.
But the amount of time that this person wasted going after the wrong list was completely asinine. And, you know, they were having success despite that because they were just charismatic and they offer a really good service and they had did decent marketing, although the two marketing, they had two different websites and they were completely different. It was a mess. Anyway, yeah. Unfortunately, I couldn't straighten out for them and I have straightened stuff like that out for so many companies, but you know, you recognize sometimes as a professional, you just can't help people and you move on, help people who want to be helped.
Well, and that brings us to number eight because of it's sustainable, right? So those with the biopic instead of a myopic, so two eyes instead of one view on marketing can be absolutely exhausting and it can be really frustrating because when somebody calls in, you might not know which website they were on. I mean, so your discovery process, even your intake from your director of first impressions or your receptionist is going to be difficult because you would have to represent yourself in two different ways, which doesn't make your marketing energized. It doesn't make it sustainable. It actually just makes it even more confusing, not just for you as the advisor, but also your whole team.
Absolutely. I mean, when you feel energy in what you're doing because you're getting results and you're seeing it's making an impact, that momentum is so much more sustainable.
Yeah.
Every advisor that I've met who struggles with their marketing, which is many, it's very difficult to get up and get out of bed in the morning, so to speak.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm just going to get hammered again. I'm going to spend, I mean, how many times have I talked to financial advisors or multi-advisor firms and they come to me and they say, yeah, we just spent $20,000 on this big marketing system and it's horrible. Our clients think it's so inauthentic. I had to hire a staff to run it. That person cost me $40,000. So I'm $60,000 in plus my time. I'm $100,000 in. I'm thinking to myself, if you put $100,000 into the right marketing, you'd be absolutely destroying it within like a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But advisors are like anybody are susceptible to people coming out and saying this stuff works. Digital marketing works. Email marketing. These systems. You know, we're going to give you a marketing system. It's turnkey. You're going to kill it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look what this will do for you. All the staff you'd have to have writing letters.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh my gosh. You know, we talk about this all the time. We have a marketing strategy at our company,
mm-hmm.
right? We nail your brand. We fix your website. We prove your expertise and brand depth with papers, diagrams of your financial planning process, really simple stuff. We improve your social profiles. We're talking really simple.
Mm-hmm.
Then what do? We find the best way that you'll be able to sustain producing content that you'll ever be able to figure out,
yep.
which is do a podcast. It's working for all of our advisors.
It really is. It's simple. Crazy.
They're having fun. They're enjoying their business.
Yeah.
They're adding more value. They're starting to think about other things in their business, other ways they can add more value. They're taking more time to understand their audience.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy how much value this is adding to their business. Then what we would do? They're no good at doing social media. We do it for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's intimate. It's not bugging people. It's making sure they understand your personality, they understand what your interests are. They understand you can communicate and share stuff from your centers of influence.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk about your expertise once in a while, but not all the time. And you can talk about stuff going on in your community. Social media only works when you keep it really simple and when you talk about things that are actually interesting.
Right.
Because if you push your paper all the time or your website or your free obligation or an article or 10 articles or 100 articles that somebody else wrote that are not you, but maybe they're good articles. Maybe you slip those in once in a while.
Right.
When you do that, things start changing in your practice. Those are simple things. But if you can't figure out who you're going to go to do those things, those aren't going to be successful either.
Right.
So it's tough stuff. But if you can find a way to get results, and if you've been burned, which almost everybody listening to this podcast has. I don't mean burned like somebody was scamming you. People are doing what they think is real and what they think is work, but it's usually within a silo, right? And things, right? There's like response. There's like direct mail companies that think direct mail you know, direct mail is everything.
Mm-hmm.
Mail isn't everything. Direct mail could work if it was part of a bigger, simpler picture. But there are other ways, a lot of other ways to do it. Anyhow, we're not here to beat up direct mail.
No, I want to jump in there because first off, you had this really weird, like your voice became like the sound of God there for a minute. And then it went back into your microphone. So that was really freaky and cool. I don't know what happened. But anyway, we can still hear you.
My mixer is on the fritz.
Yeah, well, we need to get you a new mixer.
So
anyway, Kaylee, who's the woman who's in charge of our social media, right, who helps us identify things, and she monitors a lot of it for us, and she does a great, great job for us. I had a meeting with her this morning, and she said, hey, there's this funny discussion that's happening about how many times advisors are solicited with crappy marketing plans. And so I read the thread in it was, again, we can make you more money than anybody else, or we've got this turnkey perfect example of how to do this and this and this. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. The difference between what we're doing and what you're seeing all of these other shiny objects out there for financial advisors is it's about you. It's not about me making $1 million. It's not about Kirk using this exact same system to make $1 million. This is vetted stuff. And I'm also going to tell you guys that there's work involved. If you don't put in any effort into marketing, if somebody says, oh man, you know what? Hey, we've got everything for you. You don't have to do anything. Just give it to us and we'll do it. You don't have any buy-in, because this is a, you know, kind of an old adage for coaching. If you don't have skin in the game, you're not going to play the game very well. So we help you get the skin in the game, which you have to, when you're really creating this niche market, know what game you're playing. And part of knowing what game you're playing is understanding your centers of influence and how to use the centers of influence to get to the right people. That's what's happening on social media. Is everybody's getting bombarded thinking that, well, if I get to this guy or this guy to this guy, then you know, everybody and their brother's going to buy my marketing plan. Well, that's not how this works. And it doesn't work with the industry, with you all going out there either. When you're looking at a niche market, and if you're looking at government employees, you need to also create a list of centers of influence who service those same people, who have ends that you might not have. There's no problem with partnering with somebody else to be able to get a door open. And then the last point here, which is number 10, which has to do directly with centers of influence, is you have to be able to talk to the people, hang out where they hang out, and allow them to feel comfortable around you. We just had this gentleman who we're working with here at Top Advisor Marketing who just did this thing called 29029, which he summited this mountain enough times to the equivalent of summiting Mount Everest. And he was sitting there with 149 other people who were doing the exact same thing. He just got 149 prospects that they've had a shared experience doing an ultra event. If he calls them, he doesn't ever have to talk about being a financial advisor at the beginning. They talk about the shared event. That's what a niche market is really, truly. When your niche market gets into your soul, this does not become marketing anymore. This just becomes part of who you are. Kirk is a branding expert. That is who he is to the core. His ability to visualize, to create, to come up with ideas, I've never seen its match. He lives it, breathes it, and you can feel it. You can hear it when he's talking about this stuff. You have to find that niche. These top 10 reasons for having a niche persona works because you find that passion. You dig deep and you're able to project that passion, that love, that desire, that the right language, the right terminology, all of those things to this target market. And you will be able to grow as big as you want, as small as you want, whatever you want to be able to do. And you're going to have control over it, Kirk. And that's the last thing I want to say here with this tactic is the advisors that I've worked with who've had this really, really strong niche, they feel like they have a lot more control over every aspect of their practice. They're not unemployed after every financial plan. They're not unemployed after doing an insurance plan because they always know that there are more and more people that they can help and they know how to get there.
I'm going to share a story with you. This is one of the reasons hopefully you feel like you want to hang around for the entirety of our podcast. So you're just talking about one of our clients who just went to this really interesting event where they climbed the equivalent of Mount Everest by climbing Stratton Mountain 17 times. And good for our friend and colleague who actually accomplished this in a very impressive amount of time, although it was not a race. One of the things that he did when he went to this event, because he knew he would love the kind of people that were there, want to have more of them in his practice. The idea to go to this event was not ours, but we helped to make the most of it. So one of the things that we did was we planned a social media campaign around this. In order to do that, we hired a videographer and a photographer who followed him around all day, who happened to be a close friend of mine here in Toronto. And he's amazing. It was just phenomenal what we were able to achieve. And guess what? He was one of the, if not the only person who had a personal videographer and photographer. And everybody's walking around saying, you must be famous or something. He's like, no, I want to capture this experience. And I don't just want to capture it for myself. I want to capture it for us. Because I believe that I'm not the only one here who's doing something special in their life or for their family or their community or their kids or their spouse, right? So what we ended up doing was he took thousands of pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And my gosh, when you have a good photographer taking pictures, I'm just going to tell you, people, it's incredible for your marketing. There's soul to your stuff. If you've taken crappy pictures at your events with dimly lit stuff and clients aren't looking their best, they're throwaways. Go hire a good photographer who can find the soul of your event, the people there, catch them in these interesting moments where they're pensive or they're doing something to prepare for something. It was just incredible, the pictures my friend was able to take. And you're welcome to reach out to us, and I'll give you his name. He'd probably fly around to help you out. Not you can't find good photographers locally, but anyway, the social campaign was a massive hit because it was this person living his life.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to tie back the idea of this journey of how to conquer this 17 times up and down this mountain over a 24-hour period and turn it into financial planning concepts. We had the whole thing planned out. We had talking points scripted. And then he was just himself at the same time. Those videos turned out amazing. We're able to video a couple other people about their stories for themselves. He's going to go back to these people and say, look, I got some photographs of you at this event.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought you and your family might want these. And here they are. And if you want prints of them, let me know. I'll have my photographer arrange that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just think of how incredible this experience was and how much leverage he has now by planning ahead and thinking of it. And his brand, who he is, they're all built around what this audience cares about. And this stuff is all achievable by you. You do not have to do this type of event, but you can do all kinds of interesting things. There's tons of stuff that happens in your community that you can be involved with, right?
Mm-hmm.
So figure out who you want to work with and how you're going to get in front of them and how you're going to prove to them that you care, that you know more. Do it, know who your list is so that you don't get stuck. They can create this systematic approach to going to find them and communicating with them, building relationships, have consistent marketing that communicates one message right to that niche market. You're going to save time not trying to be everything to everyone. The results that you'll get are going to energize you and sustain your marketing and your practice for a lot of years. You're going to have more fun. You're going to know exactly what centers of influence know this niche and work with them so that you can connect with them too. And you're going to know how to talk to these people. Our friend was on the hill with these people. He knows exactly what they're made of because he's made of the same stuff.
Yeah, totally.
So easy to talk to them, easy to understand what they're concerned about, not living life, whatever, all these things, where they hang out. They're going to all types of events like this. I mean, the guy that finished this event first, he's a world record for having summited the 7 highest summits in the world back to back to back to back to back to back. He took a helicopter after he summited one, take a helicopter to the next. I don't know his name. Doesn't matter, man, an incredible feat. And he got to spend time with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Got put on this event, there's an incredible network of people like this too. So anyway, there's so many opportunities out there for you to have fun in your business, to stop being so stressed out because you don't have a list. So figure out how you're going to get your list and start there.
Well, Kirk, thank you very much for that. And I don't want to come across too salesy here, but I want to make sure that everybody understands that finding that passion, that niche, that opportunity that Kirk was just talking about is something that we do help with here with our Brand Mastery course. It's going to pay you back 100 times of whatever investment you're going to make with our program. And if you don't want to use our program, if you can find somebody else who can help you uncover a niche, that's going to make all the difference in the world. So Kirk, thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks, Matt. That was a lot of fun.
We will talk to you guys soon. And if you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, make sure you click that subscribe button below so that our podcasts show up every time we have a new one come out. Thank you very much. And we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.